Good morning, ECCC, and welcome to our second week of doing our service online. We appreciate your understanding and your encouraging words to us this past week about providing this service to you. And we also want to welcome those of you who aren't a part of our regular church attendance, those of you who might be parts of other churches who don't have an opportunity to tune into your own church, or maybe I've talked with several people because of all of the free time that they have now, they're able to go online and check out services, multiple services throughout the week, and watch ministers give sermons that they normally wouldn't have a chance to. So we welcome you as well. The bottom line is it's amazing just getting the Word of God out the way that we are. And so this has kind of forced us to do things a little differently. But in the long run, the good news is that there are more people hearing the gospel message online now than probably what would have happened if they were coming inside the four walls of the church. So we praise God for that. But today we're going to begin a new series that we are calling Devoted. Now, this series is born out of weeks of discussion among the staff and with the elders about the vision of the church. In other words, what should we be doing as the church to be the light of Jesus in this community? What should we be doing as the church to reach out and make people get an accurate view of who Jesus was and who he is and how he can change people's lives? Many of us have heard the passage of Scripture from Proverbs. It's in 29, chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And so we've been praying about that vision. What do we need to be doing as a church to cast vision and so that our people can grasp it and really get out there and share the love of Jesus? We certainly don't want to be a church that perishes because of a lack of vision. I looked up that word perish. And in the Hebrew, it carries with it this idea. The word is parah. It's a transliteration, P-A-W-R-A-H, parah. And it comes from the word that was used when a woman's hair was tied up by a hairband or a head covering or whatever the case may be. And it kind of carries with it the idea that the hair that would fall out of the hairband, and the wind would blow that hair around, and it wouldn't have any particular direction. It just was tossed everywhere by the wind, just flying around everywhere. We don't want to be a church like that. We don't want to be a church that is just tossed around by whatever the current wave of teaching might be. We want to make sure that we have purpose, we have direction, we have vision, and we don't want to be a church that just gets caught up in whatever might be going on in that day. But we have a clear vision from God's Word about what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ. So we don't want to get swept along with whatever wind of teaching is popular in the world today. This church needs to be anchored to the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we want to have the vision that will not only enable us to withstand difficult times like we're experiencing right now, but we want to be a church that flourishes. I believe we can be a church that flourishes even during these difficult times. So how do we do that? How do we have the vision that God wants us to have? How do we cast that vision as leadership, and how do we get it out of our heads and into our hearts so that it becomes a part of who we are? Well, we're going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to look and see what the Word of God has to say. And in looking at the Word of God, we're going to look at the book of Acts, because that's where the early church history is located. Someone put it this way, a river is purest at its source. And so when we look at the purest form of the church, it's at its source. It is when the church started on the day of Pentecost, We see that's the way God wanted the church to start, more than likely. And what happens is, this saying that the church is purest at its source, or a river is purest at its source, it kind of has this idea that as water travels downstream, it becomes polluted as it travels downstream, and it gets filled with all kinds of different things along the way. And I think the same is true with the church. Down through the years, the church has been filled with flawed people. We're all sinners. There are no perfect people, as we all know. And so because the church is filled with flawed people, sometimes flawed teaching would find its way into the church, and the church would have a tendency to drift away from being the church that God wanted her to be. And so this series is born out of a desire of our staff and our elders to get back today to doing things the way that they did them back in the first century. Because I think that most would agree that when God's Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, when the church started, the things that were important to them ought to be the things that are important to us 2,000 years later. And so we look at that. What was important? So we're going to hone in on Acts chapter 2, verse 42, just this singular verse over the next several weeks, and see what the early church was devoted to. And the first thing we see is this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those are the four things that the early church was devoted to: fellowship, or the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. You say, okay, that's great. What does that mean? What does it mean to be devoted to those things? Well, when you look up the word devoted, it carries, or it has the meaning of like a couple who are just newly married, or maybe been married for years. They're devoted to one another. They are very loving, and they care about, and they are really in this relationship with it. That is just very, very loyal, very devoted. And when you look up the word in the Greek, it carries with it the idea that they were steadfastly continuing in. And so when we see this, the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. They steadfastly continued in the apostles' teaching. I think we can all agree that what has happened in the past couple of weeks has been a little bit of a wake-up call as to what we are devoted to. I talked with a good friend of mine in New York, Jerry Halpin, who many of you know. Jerry preaches on Long Island in New York, and he basically said some people are losing their minds because they're not able to do the things they're used to doing. The things that they're devoted to on a daily basis, they're not able to do right now. And so they don't know how to handle it. Some people are losing their minds because there's no sports out there right now, you know? I mean, honestly, you think about this, no sports. They're going crazy because there's no sports. Okay, well, I'm not going crazy, and I haven't lost my mind, but certainly it has changed the way that my day goes, because I'm pretty tied to sports. A lot of you know that, you know? And I hope that when all of this dies down, that whatever is happening on the north side of Chicago this summer isn't so important to me as maybe it was before. Sports is just one thing that people have been forced to change. It's been a wake-up call for a lot of us in the things that we're devoted to. I believe that some of the things that we consider blessings in our lives sometimes are hindrances to our devotion of things that really matter. In fact, there's a Facebook post floating around that maybe many of you have seen over the past couple of weeks, and it says something to this effect. It says, in just 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe for a minute that God caused these things to shut down. I don't believe for a minute that God has caused COVID-19 to happen. But the situation in which we find ourselves right now has certainly shown us that some of the things that we thought were so important, they're really not all that important anymore. And I want to encourage all of us who are watching, those things that you were devoted to before, I'm asking you to consider devoting yourself to the things that the early Christians were devoted to. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, then look at what the early church did and be devoted to the things that they were devoted to. And so each week we're going to talk about these different objects of the early church's devotion, and as a result of this devotion, see that the church absolutely flourished. That should be our vision. That should be what we're all about. Again, if the church was purest during the first century when Jesus started his church, you would think that is the way that he wanted it to be done, and so that's what we want. We each week we're going to share our vision statement. We're going to talk about what that looks like through what the early church did, and so I'm going to share the vision statement with you each week, and then we'll discuss how that plays out in our life. So here is our mission statement. We want to be a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me read that for you again. You might read it along with me. You can do it out loud if you want, but it doesn't really matter. But read it along with me if you would. A community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we see that the early church did in having a similar vision is that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It wasn't just something that when they got around to it, they would do. They were absolutely devoted to it. I think one thing that we need to look at is who are the they that Luke is talking about. Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and it says they devoted themselves. Who are the they that Luke is referring to? Well, if you go back just a few short verses earlier in Acts chapter 2, it says that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he preached the first sermon that was ever preached after the resurrection of Jesus, and the results that he had were absolutely amazing, and it's mind-boggling how he had such results. I mean, he didn't have a screen, and he didn't use any jokes, and he didn't wear a coat and tie, and he didn't have all the fancy things that we have now to relay the message. He just got up and preached, and here's what he said. He said, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And in verse 37, it says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" And in verse 38, it says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' And those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the church that day," or added to their number that day. So the they that Peter is referring to, or that Luke is referring to in verse 42, are the 3,000 that believed that gospel message. Okay, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Those who heard that very first sermon, they were baptized, they started living for Christ, and after they made that decision, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they were devoted to the Word of God. And I feel like what happens way too often in our churches today, as we get baptized and we feel good about it, and we're going along pretty well for a little while because, you know, our lives have changed. We know that we're going to heaven. We were bound for hell, and now we're going to heaven, and we're thankful, and we keep coming to church for a little while. But over time, I think what happens is we become, for various reasons, we become less devoted to the apostles' teaching. We become less devoted to reading the Word of God for ourselves. We even become less devoted to worship. We become less devoted to church attendance, and we start to drift away, and then we wonder why we're not as close to Jesus as we once were. Well, it's because we're not devoted. As the old saying goes, if God seems far away from you, guess who moved? It wasn't God. A few Sunday mornings ago, I have this habit of, or this routine of getting here pretty early on Sunday mornings, and Kendall usually comes in a little after that, and we'll have coffee and we'll talk, and we're talking, and Kendall was telling me before Bible study started that Dominic, you guys know Dominic, who was baptized at the beginning of the year, just a couple of months ago. Dominic was really torn over something. He explained that Dominic had been selected to the HBCA Indiana All-Star Game. What an honor, and we congratulate him for that. But you think, what's his dilemma? Well, his dilemma was the game was being played at a time on Sunday afternoon that would cause him to miss church to go play in this game. And he was really torn up about it. You see, just 3 short months ago, Dominic stood up in front of all of us here at church, and he surrendered his life to Christ, and he repented of his sins, and he was baptized into Jesus. And to Dominic, that wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a commitment to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. It was a commitment to being devoted to the Word, the apostles' teaching. And that leads to discipleship. And that's part of what our vision is to make disciples, to connect people to one another through Jesus Christ and make them disciples. And you might be thinking, okay, that sounds great, but why should I want that? Why should I be so devoted like the early church was? Well, here are some reasons. We devote ourselves to Scripture so that we can know the truth. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot of really messed up teaching that is going on out there in our world today. I'm not real sure, but I think I just heard amens through the television screen. The only way that we can stay grounded and not get tossed and not lose our vision, like in that illustration that I shared earlier, and just be tossed around like the hair that falls out of a woman's headband, so that our church isn't tossed around, so we aren't tossed around as individuals. One way that we can stay grounded and connected is through His Word, studying His Word, so that we can know the truth. We need to know the truth because there's so many things that are out there competing for our allegiance. We were talking about this past Wednesday morning in our first ever Bible study that we had on Facebook, our first live Bible study and discussion and devotion. We're looking over the 23rd Psalm and how in the book of John, Jesus is referring himself to the Good Shepherd, like we read about in the 23rd Psalm. And Jesus says this about himself in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep by the pen gate, but climbs in by some other way, any one of you sheep that do that, that is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." So the way that you can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the way that you can hear the voice of Jesus, is by being devoted to his Word. The early church understood that they needed that. They needed to be devoted to the Word of God. There's so many false shepherds out there competing for your attention. You know, as we mentioned in our Bible study last Wednesday morning, we're taught to just listen to our feelings or our emotions or just go with our gut. But they're going to let you down. I'm telling you, your feelings are going to let you down. Just go with the flow. That's another thing. Just do your own thing. Just go with the flow. That's just life these days. Everybody's doing that. It's okay. Just do that. No, listen to the shepherd. And the way he communicates to us is through the apostles' teaching. Don't let other shepherds pull you away from what you know God is wanting you to do. So devote yourselves to Scripture so that you can know the truth. And devote yourself to Scripture so you can make godly decisions. You might be someone who doesn't get dragged along by society's current. You don't necessarily buy into some of the false teachings that are out there. You can easily see that maybe some of the teachings that are out there don't line up with what you believe. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever made a bad decision in your life? No? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever made a really bad decision after meditating on God's Word and praying about it? See, I think a lot of us have run into really bad decisions without meditating on God's Word, without devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. But I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that most of the time, when you pray about it and when you study God's Word, you're not going to run headlong into really poor choices. The Bible gives you wisdom about so many things. It gives you wisdom about being the husband that you can be. It gives you wisdom about being the wife that you can be. It gives you guidance as to how to raise your children. It gives you instruction as to children, how to treat your parents. It gives you financial advice. It gives you relationship advice. It talks about forgiveness and communication. Really, just about anything that you can think of that we are going to deal with in this life, the Word of God gives us advice. It gives us direction. And that's what the early church knew. And that's why the early church flourished. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And so your actions and your words ought to be guided by what we can learn from the apostles' teaching. So you need to be devoted to it. And then as we grow in our understanding and our knowledge of God's Word, and we're going to naturally just grow in grace towards one another, and we're going to understand the grace of God that He has poured out on us so lavishly. I say this often, but there are many people with whom we come into contact that don't believe in Jesus. And if the Jesus that they see in us is different from the Jesus that they have heard about or read about in Scripture, well, that's not going to be very attractive to them. And so there's no better way to become more like Jesus than by being devoted to the apostles' teaching. You say, okay, that sounds great, but how do I do this? How do I become like a church member of the first century church? Well, we devote ourselves to Scripture by humbling ourselves and by praying. Paul warns in the first century church that you've got to be careful not just to know a bunch of Scripture. Have you ever known someone like that? You know, the person who you ask a question, and boy, they know the answer. They can raise their hand and they can know the answer to the Scripture you're talking about, and they know what the Bible says because they have filled their minds with Scripture, but they've never let it get past their minds and into their hearts. I think that's where the Apostle Paul was and why he can deal with this. He was that way at one time before he came to know Jesus. Boy, he was proud. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He knew all those Old Testament Scriptures, all those prophecies, all the law. He knew all that stuff, right? And he came out of that after he came to know Jesus. In fact, there was a time in Paul's life where he says that God gave him a thorn in his flesh to keep that from happening again, to keep him from becoming conceited. So it appears that Paul had this issue with becoming proud, and he warns that we've got to be careful of that. We've got to be careful. He warns the early church, and he warns us today. Don't just know a bunch of Scriptures and so you can spout them off to your friends and look impressive in a Bible study or a Sunday school, whatever the case may be. But let those Scriptures penetrate your heart. Be devoted to those Scriptures. Paul prayed three times that that thorn be removed from his flesh. But his request didn't get answered in the way that he wanted to. Lord, please take this thorn away from me. I'm sure Paul was thinking, you know what? I'd be so much better off. I could serve you so much better, God, if that thorn wasn't there, and I could be of so much more use to the people around me if that thorn wasn't there. This thorn's just a pain, and it drags me down. But what did God say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. You know, go ahead, Paul. Do everything that I want you to do. You're going to be fine. You see, I don't think Paul was more handicapped by having this thorn in his flesh. In fact, I believe that his service to the kingdom probably was greater for the early church and for us because that thorn was there, because it kept him from becoming conceited. It kept him from becoming puffed up. It caused him to become more teachable. And thus, it helped us to become more in tune with what God wanted for our lives. So in our relationship with Jesus, humble yourselves, acknowledge that He is God, He is your shepherd, He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness, and understand that one of the main ways that He does that is through the apostles' teaching. So be devoted to it. Now there might be some of you who are watching this video, and I want to wrap up with this today. You might be sitting out there, and you might be watching this video today, and you say, okay, that sounds great, but it's hard for me to be devoted to the apostles' teaching and to have Jesus' words to resonate in my life because I've never surrendered my life to Him. I've never confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I've never repented of my sins, and I've never been baptized into Him. That's where you start. Confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. And just like the 3,000 that were baptized on that very first day, and then we read just a short time later, that number grew to over 5,000. Just like that early church, you need to start by confessing Christ, and you get baptized for the washing away of your sins. If you'd like to talk to someone about that, decision, would you reach out to us? You can do it through Facebook. You can do it through our website. You can call the church office. Any number of us here at the church on staff would love to talk to you about what you can do to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and be on your way to heaven, and then devote yourself to the apostles' teaching so that you also can become that disciple that Jesus wants you to become. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty, gracious God and Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the apostles' teaching. May we be devoted to it like the early church was. Lord, may the events of this past couple of weeks, may it just snap some things into focus for us about what is truly important. What do we truly need to be devoted to? If everything else in this world were taken away from us, Lord, your word and our relationship with you is enough. That should be of utmost importance in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be devoted to that. And God, if there's anyone that is watching this video right now that does not know you, I pray for them. I pray that they might consider surrendering their lives to you, or that they might consider what they need to do to enter into this relationship so that they can start listening to your voice that you call out to us through your scripture. God, we love you, and we are just so grateful that we're still able to communicate the gospel, even if we're not able to be within the four walls of the church building. Thank you for Jesus, and we pray this in His precious name. Amen.